My name's Rich, compulsive reader, bulimic, 100 pounder. Thank you for being here. I'll say what it was like. I was a obese child. I was diagnosed as profusely obese at 11 years old and put in a program at UCLA for the profusely obese adolescents. And they tried to fix a bunch of fat kids, basically. They taught us what to eat. They needed a nutritionist, a therapist, a doctor, and then they walked us up to the pools and made us swim laps next to the UCLA swim team, which was pretty humiliating, a bunch of fat kids. And to say the least, none of us lost weight. None of us did. I mean, the only kid that lost weight, they did a gastric bypass on a 16-year-old that was like 500 pounds. And I was at 13 years old, I was, I think, at like 250 and like 5 foot. And shortly, thereafter, I wanted to be thin, so I tried to starve myself. And then I saw in the news about, like, there were like, all these young girls were like throwing up. So I tried to do that. But I just ate more. I always said I was basically a 300-pound bulimic. So, it didn't work for me. I came into OA in 1987 at 19 years old. I was fat, and my roommate, who was my binge buddy, his mother was one of the original OA, the ladies, and she was like, how, and this and that. And he wanted to go to a meeting, and he said, I'm fat, you're fatter, we should go to an OA meeting. And the only reason I went was because I didn't want to be left home alone in our apartment. And, God forbid he got skinny, and and then I'm left, having nobody to binge with. And so, to me, just the insanity. And it was the first place I went to in Reseda, California, the OA office, which had meetings and everything. And I went to the Wednesday night 100-pounder meeting, and it was like, I was like, there was nothing that was said that I didn't, relate to. It's like uncontrollable eating, the humiliation of being always the fattest person, everywhere. And and I loved it. And I got abstinent, got a sponsor, and I really, I lived the program, and I got everything I ever wanted. I got thin. I, got a wife, two kids, and and I, after 16 years of not having sugar, one night, I was in very fit, and I was working out with a trainer every day. And one night, my wife said, and she's not, compulsive eater, she said, you deserve a piece of my dessert, a forkful. And I took a forkful, and nothing happened. So then I took another forkful, and nothing happened. So then I ate the dessert and ate another dessert. And then 6 months later, I was 100 pounds heavier. And to me, that's how this disease is cunning and baffling, is, I thought like the sky would fall when I took one bite. I really, because it had been 16 years, and I grew up in the program. I'd never been, when I walked into OA, I'd never been on a date. I'd never done anything. And I was too humiliated to go to a meeting in relapse. And I, share that because it's important to be honest. And the program, I at my wedding, I had three tables of program people, and black tie wedding, and it's like I left program. Program didn't leave me. And what did I do out there? I got tried the same crap except worse. I got gastric bypass. I got a band put in. I practiced bulimia, and I was still fat. I mean, I ate through gastric. I ate through a band. I ate through every diet out there, medication. I remember, I don't think I'd shared it. I think some doctor in Century City, I don't know, put like some kind of weird implant in my stomach, like a medication supposedly, like under the skin with two stitches to supposedly suppress like eating. And then I thought, in the back of my mind, I said, well, I could just go back to OA and abstain, but nah, you know what? This is like an easier, softer way, basically, And what happened, my it was a shitty husband, when I'm out there eating. I mean, really shitty, because I was always focused on food. I'd be, at the most beautiful restaurant in Beverly Hills and, with my wife, and it's like I was thinking about the food, not the company. It's kind of like, okay, when's the food coming? When's, I mean, I hope nobody's offended, but I talk about food, because it's OA. The basket of bread comes, and it's like I eat three baskets before the salad comes, and it's like, it's the humiliation. And but I started last like February, I started having, I passed out a few times, and then in the last April, I basically got rushed to the hospital. I was internally bleeding out from the ramifications of this disease between compulsive eating with no stomach left and purging. And basically, I had to get 3 pints of blood, emergency. And that's when I did, the first two steps in the hospital. I mean, for me, I was powerless over food. My life was unmanageable. I'm lying here, not because I got, God forbid, like some disease or anything. I am lying here because I could not stop eating and could not purge and not just surrender again. And I believe that only a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. So I, after 3 pints of blood, I got out of the hospital, and then my wife filed for divorce after 27 years. And I didn't want to get out of bed. I was like, oh my, because I had everything I always dreamed of, but I was still miserable. I had a house in Beverly Hills, had money and property, and just wanted me out. And but it still took me a month to come back to a meeting. And my 1 year abstinence birthday was June 9th this week. And I went back to one of the old meetings that was my home meeting in Beverly Hills, Roxbury Park, that our co-founder used to, Roseanne used to go. And I looked in the window, and I was so depressed. It was like a hybrid meeting. It used to be several hundred people, and there was like five people. So I didn't even walk in that first week. I went to a farmer's market and got two chocolate croissants and ate them. And almost like ate it at the meeting because I was so upset that it was such a, like a. And then for some reason, God got me back the next week. And, the speaker, it was almost like was there for me. Guy used to be 350 pounds, is not, and just a normal person, a normal guy. And he invited me to come out to the valley. And that's where I started away. San Fernando Valley. And he said, we got a bunch of guys that are sober eating. And that's my experiences. And I was like, I'd weighed and measured, but what the hell's so pretty? Well, we don't eat our alcoholic foods, and we don't make unilateral food decisions. I was like, oh well, that's kind of an interesting concept, and I've been, really spending the last year like letting people for the first time like help me and being honest. And it's not easy because I was dishonest with food, with everything, when I'm out there. To me, the truth is okay, but a lie is better. That's it, and it was an adjustment. And so I had to do a food inventory and and basically go through with one sponsor, and then we didn't, I had to, I switched sponsors, but and going through the steps. And right now, it was the hardest thing doing a four step, because I remember doing a four step many years ago, and my old sponsor was an old AA guy, and it was very dramatic, but it was in my 20s, so it's like I didn't have that much. I mean, I really did. So, he took it from me and set and threw it in the trash can at his office where he worked as a therapist with gang kids, and set it on fire. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. And it's like, and it was different this time. And I say, working the steps, I'm a lot older, and it was a lot more shit I did. I created the wreckage, and but I felt relief. And right now I'm on my working, in the middle of my ninth step, making amends. And it's hard cleaning up, and not, it's also hard not to make excuses. I mean, it talks about in the big book, we don't make excuses. We don't blame our disease for our behavior. We acknowledge the behavior and own it and have no expectations of anything in return. And to me, that's the hardest thing. And the one thing I'll say today, like anything I do, like an amends, I, this is something I was taught, is like I call somebody before and I call somebody after. I bookend everything. And it's a great tool. I mean, I, it should be like the 10th tool, because it really works. It's not just calling somebody, but actually talking it through before and after. I say I'm going to do something, and actually call somebody before and then call somebody after that I did it. Because it's easy for me to say, hey, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. And then, and it keeps me honest. Yeah. But it's hard. I did one, I did some shitty stuff in business. And I didn't, the ones I've made aren't financial, but like, I pulled like bads, did some things I wasn't proud of. And one of the ladies said, oh, it's no big deal. And I said, I feel bad. And it wasn't right the way I treated you. And it was because, for me, the reason doing the steps, and especially the ninth step, is that these people, at least that I've made the amends to, if I walk, ran into them on the street, I wouldn't hide. To me, that's kind of, because I know one of them I did, like several years ago. I think it was, actually, I think it was like 2 years, right before, last couple of years ago. I saw her at a city event, and I did go hiding. I did sort of avoid and go behind a pole, like a, like an idiot, because I didn't want like her, her to say something, like what an asshole, Rich was. And I, until I did my inventory, I didn't realize what it, like what an asshole I was. I thought I was such a nice, good person. I was very much. And so, it's important to share for any, I walked into the hospital 93 pounds heavier last year, last April. I mean, I lost a little bit of weight on IV, but the rest was in abstinence. And I'm grateful to
Irony.
God. Thank you. And I'm grateful to God for that. It's, right now my life is unmanageable. I'm going through a difficult, very difficult divorce. My wife won't talk to me. She doesn't want anything to do with me. Everything is through attorneys. And I can't control her. That was part of my disease, and that was part of the issue. I did. I bullshitted everything. Oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And, when I had money, I spent it. When I, didn't give her attention, I'd make up for it and buy jewelry and stupid shit and never, never said no. And I never took care, and there's ramifications, but today, I can, I'm grateful to be abstinent because I know, before, those weeks before I got abstinent, I knew for me, basically, I either come back to OA and get abstinent, work the steps 100%, or I basically blow my brains out. And I don't want to be dramatic, but that's the way I felt. It's like those were the two choices. There was nothing left for me. I mean, I couldn't get another surgery. I mean, there's nothing left, And that's why I say anybody think, it's like people in OA, it's not controversial. Surgeries work, pills work, and everything else work as a tool. But it's like, if I'm not abstinent, for me, there's a big difference. Abstinence for me is abstaining from my alcoholic foods. I mean, it's really actually pretty simple. My food plan is what my dietitian gave me after I gave her my abstinence, what I cannot eat. And to me, it's kind of like abstinence is what I don't eat. My food plan is what I eat. And, to me, I'm not that smart, but it keeps it a little sane for me because I, it's like I've got, oh, you're, I don't have, like red light, green light. I have alcoholic foods. Now, are there foods that I can eat in different things? Of course, like I can eat a sandwich, but I can't eat bread at a restaurant for me because bread at a restaurant is like endless. It's sort of like, that's unfortunate. I don't have that self-control. Oh, do you, and I know people can eat like half a roll and God bless them. I can't. But, for me, it's when I'm not in the food, it's not about the food. And I really believe that. And, my sponsor has me, every day, and I'm taking direction for a change, reading for today, meditating a little bit. I hate meditating. And trying to go on an early morning meeting and start my day in a positive manner. And, because I used to say, oh, I don't have time for OA. I don't have time for meetings. Well, I spent a lot of time, binging my brain out, that's for sure, and purging. So it's like, you know what? I do have time. It's the question, today is it's a priority. And, I'm just grateful for the fellowship. And the last thing I'll say is, I was very different when I was abstinent for 16 years ago. Because back then I used to I was very much more judgmental, and I realized I'll never go out. I never believed I'd go out ever. I never believed I'd gain a pound. And is to me, I realized this program is about, it's a we program. That's it. I cannot do it alone. I tried everything alone. And, when I've been in real pain and I had to, went to my son's graduation in Arizona, and was worried about running into my wife, I went on meetings, I made phone calls, and got through it abstinently. And that's the whole thing is we can get through anything absolutely. Thank you for letting me share.